eBay Motors es tu socio seguro. Con trabajo, piezas nuevas y mucha pasión, transformaste una carrocería oxidada con 100,000 millas en un vehículo totalmente singular. Juegos de frenos, faros, lo que necesites, eBay Motors lo tiene. Con Guaranteed Fit de eBay, te aseguras que la pieza le quede a tu carro a la primera o se te devuelve tu dinero. Y a estos precios, quemas llantas y no dinero. Mantén vivo ese espíritu de Ride or Die, baby, en eBay Motors. eBayMotors.com. Solo para artículos elegibles. Se aplican restricciones.
You are now listening to Get Your Ash with Cornelius and McGee.
Bet Your Ash. It's episode 86. That's Cornelius. I'm McGee. We always start in the same place, buddy. What are we smoking today?
Today we're smoking a cigar that I'm surprised we haven't smoked before. I actually thought, I was like, we haven't smoked this cigar before? Like, man, we went back in our database of reviews. We keep it on script paper. It's a very...
I have a notebook.
Okay.
It's a one subject. It's not even like the five subject notebooks. Exactly.
I remember, so, you know, you got to imagine inner city Chicago, right? Yeah, it's just a different way of school. I remember my sister, my teacher told me, she says, I knew when you showed up on the first day with a one subject notebook that you didn't plan on doing no work this year. You know what? You can get out of here right now. You know, she's just, I was like, what's wrong with the one subject? I mean, that's all they had left. So I grabbed the one subject.
You got to get one for every class if you're going to go with the one
subject. Yeah, well, I get done with that one. I get another one, you know. But today, the Ashton VSG Pegasus. Now, that's by the Ashton Company. It has a 90 rating on Cigar Aficionado. It is a sun-grown Robusto.
Smells so good.
Grande. The dimensions are going to be 5 by 54, really close to a Robusto.
Yeah.
It's a blend made just for Ashton. Now, if you remember, Ashton cigars are actually made in the Arturo Fuente factory.
All of them?
Yes. So,
but they have different blenders to different ones, but they have Arturo Fuente handle all their manufacturing and everything. Rolling and everything.
Correct. But okay. Carlito Fuente of Arturo Fuente, Carlito,
yeah,
actually blended this just for them.
Oh, that's great.
So this is a super premium Dominican filler with high-end Ecuadorian sun-grown wrapper.
It's heavy.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's well-packed.
It's heavy. It's definitely heavier than other cigars in size.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you... I mean, whenever you got a... and that wrapper actually comes from the Oliva family estate, the Oliva cigars.
Wow.
So anytime you got Ashton, Oliva, and Arturo Fuente teeing off on a cigar, it's going to be good. And that's what, you know, that's what this is. That is the Ashton VSG period. Now, it comes in a lot of different sizes. Pegasus is just one of the sizes, but it comes in a lot of different sizes. I'm going off the top of my head. I'm not even looking, but I'm sure I'm going to miss one. But you got the illusion. You've got the Spellbound. You've got the Torpedo. You got the Bellicoso. You got the Trey Mystique or Mystique. You got the Pegasus. I believe you just got a straight out Robusto. I think I already said Spellbound. You got the Enchantment.
These are all by Ashton, right?
Yeah, it's the exact same cigar you're smoking. They're all different sizes.
Oh, maybe we had the Bellicoso once on here. It kind of rings a bell, but maybe not.
Yeah,
my memory isn't what it used to be.
We haven't carried that in a long time.
So then maybe
not.
Because almost all of our cigars have come from the humidor upstairs. So if you haven't carried it, then we probably haven't.
Yeah,
so I'm just talking out my ass.
But like I said, there's a lot of different sizes. And the 5x54 Pegasus, that's just one of the various sizes.
So can I ask a question I've always wanted to ask?
Yeah.
And although Tyler's not calling in later, he texted a question, so we have a question there.
Uh-huh.
But this is like the question I would send to Tyler in the hope that he put onto the podcast via ask@betyourash.com. My question is this. It's called the VSG, Virgin Sun Grown.
Mm-hmm.
Why, like, is it why virgin?
That's a good question.
Did they not make babies yet? I mean, unpollinated is what I was trying to say. Is it unpollinated tobacco or something?
Unpollinated tobacco, never touched before.
I've always wondered.
You know,
I also don't understand why they use virgin in olive oil. So maybe it's the same. Maybe it's the same reason.
I think virgin in the sense that there's a process, some sort of process that the tobacco has not went through.
Mm.
Now, what that process is, I don't know. That's a good question.
I've got a lot of good questions.
I don't know. That's a good question. Why is it called Virgin Sun Grown? But
we're gonna need to get a tobacco master up in here.
But I will say this: it is the only. Now this is where I start to question. I start to question at this point. I've never seen another cigar company call their wrapper Virgin Sun Grown.
Right.
So then I start erring towards, this is like all the many other cigars that we've reviewed on this site. This is just something that something extra that they put on there to make it, you know, branded for their, you know.
Yeah,
their
company. It's just the name.
And I'm not.
Marketing.
I'm just saying that's what I'm thinking that it's towards.
Could be.
I've looked it up from time to time, and I don't see.
It could just be some sort of branding thing. That could very well be it.
Or that particular sun grown leaf is indicative just to Ashton, you know.
Right. It's just there.
There's a lot of tobaccos that, you know, are only used in a certain, you know.
We need to get somebody from Ashton on the podcast just so we can ask him this question. I mean, we'll ask him all kinds of other questions, but we need like a sales rep or a promo guy or somebody that works there to answer our questions.
Yeah.
So no, if anybody from Ashton's listening, get in touch with us.
Yeah. I mean, I said, if I had to answer the question, I would say that, it's just something specific to you know,
marketing or something,
or to Ashton,
or their process, or something they don't do that other brands do.
Correct.
Yeah. So
whoa, hold on. So I just got a text from a very reliable source at Ashton.
I was wondering what you're doing with your phone over there.
He doesn't even know what the virgin and virgin sun grown means. So if that's the case, then I think we're on the right track. That is just one of those. If you notice, throughout the entire cigar world, people do certain things that are just indicative to their brand. And that's they just happen to call it virgin sun grown.
Dig it.
All right.
Today is day one of the World Series of Poker.
Ooh.
But they canceled the World Series of Poker live, but they're running it online.
No way. You
have to live in Nevada or New Jersey, I think, are the only two places you can play. I have a buddy who just texted me that he got busted out of event one. Tonight was event one. So he had
You mean like it started?
It started today.
Like I could go and sign up right now.
You would have to drive to Nevada.
Oh yeah.
You'd have to be in the state of Nevada to play, or the state of New Jersey. But Nevada's a closer drive. My bankroll isn't what it needs to be for me to justify that trip, but pretty cool that it started today. Good luck to everybody that's playing.
Even when it's done, it should come back next year as the World Series of Online Poker.
I think they'll have X number of events online and X number of events live probably going forward, especially as more and more states open up. I would imagine Colorado will be a year or two away now that we have online sports gambling. They'll see, oh, look, this is viable. You know what I mean? This is something that we make some tax money on.
Right.
We haven't seen like a rise in people calling Gamblers Anonymous or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And by the way, something we should say more often. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call somebody.
You or someone at 12. Yeah.
Stop it. You know, just stop it.
Dial 1-800.
The other thing is that this is episode 86.
86.
Now, we did a little bit of a tech upgrade. So if we sound better than usual, thank Connor. You know, just compared to previous episodes, we may sound a little different, and hopefully it's for the better. So 86 marks like a new era in our quality.
Mm-hmm.
And 86 is worn by very few athletes, surprisingly.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a football player I'd never heard of. There's a couple NBA guys that neither of which played a full season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most... I don't know what the right word is. Famous, so we'll say, or like the most talented kind of athlete that's ever worn 86, it seems to me, is this young hockey player named Tuvo Teravainen. I'm sure I mispronounced that. But when he was his first couple years in the NHL, he was on the Blackhawks when they won the Stanley Cup, and now he plays for the Hurricanes. I'm not a big hockey guy, but I hear he's quite good.
Yeah. So he's still playing.
He's still playing. Yeah, he's still active. Yeah. So he might be the best 86 there is.
Yeah.
Might be the best 86. Also, before we get into topics at hand, I had been giving out a podcast for people. I've been suggesting a podcast for people to listen to.
True.
And last week I completely spaced and I forgot. Did you ever, and I used to watch this show every Sunday morning on ESPN. It was called The Sports Reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And they would bring a different sports writer into... And it kind of started that whole sports writers talking on TV. There was a show that kind of predated it out of Chicago where everybody was smoking cigars. But Sports Reporter was on for like 20 years or something ridiculous. 25 years. And it got canceled a few years ago. But when it got canceled, a few of the main people involved, specifically Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan and... the guy from Detroit who does all the work in Haiti. His name, he also plays the piano. Mitch Albom. The three of them, and then usually, not always, but sometimes they have a guest. They turn the Sports Reporters into a podcast. And instead of once a week on Sundays, it's on like Mondays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. I mean, if you're into really smart people talking about every issue in the sports world in an hour, you know, this is a great, great listen. You know, it's not a lot of, you know, the jokes are dated. They're older guys, you know, it's not some like edgy, you know, fun young podcast. Like they're older gentlemen who've been watching sports forever and they have an incredible perspective. And so I always liked the show when it was on TV, and now I listen to the podcast twice a week. You know, it's good.
You know, it just hit me that every week I watch a podcast. It's a live podcast on YouTube. And it just hit me, like, you know, we've been doing this, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, I never really... Flimlo. Yeah. It's a podcast. He does really, really good... he really good take, really good, you know, research on
the... That's the guy's name or the show's name?
That's the show.
Okay.
Flimlo Raps is the name of it. And
it's about hip-hop?
It has a hip... It starts out... his opening music is Lil Wayne.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I just was guessing from the name, but raps also can be conversation.
Yeah.
So
but,
that's.
But he doesn't even talk about rap. He doesn't talk about rap at all. He only talks about sports. Oh, cool. But he's kind of got that Bermuda Triangle of success with talking about what went wrong with this player and what, and sports.
Cool.
You know, like things that happen with a player and sports, those two intersections.
Cool.
That's what he talks on.
Nice. Yeah. I'll have to check it out sometime. Yeah. That sounds good.
Something else.
What up?
Something we didn't do last year when we recapped each one of the NFL, you know, futures.
Our summer preview season.
Yeah. That we didn't go back and change when something changed.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to do this. All right?
Yeah. And
because it was, 36 hours after we recorded the podcast?
And a big change happened in that division.
That was exactly where I was going next. It's like you read my mind.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to me like you have a much better chance of getting a nice dinner and a nice cigar out of me now. Because my question, what I want to ask you is this.
Okay. All right.
How many, now, we don't have to go back and count or anything, but, you know, how many extra wins is Cam Newton good for the Patriots?
At least three.
So if we had him at six, now you think they get nine.
Yeah.
And
that's the over.
What? Oh, you're good. You're good. And plus, I gave you the extra half a game like a sucker. But what? I mean, we don't know if he's 100% health-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Although
true.
I imagine the Patriots got more information than we do, right? And
if I could just pause for a second, keep that thought.
Yeah.
But remember that this is Bet Your Ash, right?
Yeah.
We're going back and forth.
Yeah.
If someone is listening to us, they could say, you know what? I kind of believe in what Neil's saying. If they would have did that before, because I guarantee you, I don't know where it's at now, but I guarantee you it's over now.
It went up a half a point. It's at 9.5. That's all it went up.
No, it wasn't at 9. It was at 8.5.
It was at
9?
Sorry, you're right. It was at 8.5. So it went up a full game. Now it's at 9.5.
Right.
I think you're right that he is worth a couple extra wins in that for that team. But let's not forget they still have a brutal out-of-division schedule, right? Now, I think where it changes, regardless of win-loss, I think now they're going to win the division again.
Right? Oh, you think so?
I think they're going to now win the division again. So let me tell you where I made up.
Even with Tampa Bay?
No, that's not in their division.
I mean, not Tampa Bay.
Buffalo, right. I do think now they get the tie. You know, though they might be tied and somehow they get in, right?
Yeah.
But I think that where I made out is that I didn't bet the division. I never bet Buffalo to win the division because I was like, oh, I'm not sure. I was waffling.
Mm-hmm.
What I bet was that all four teams go under. So now, if Cam Newton isn't healthy 100%,
right.
Or if maybe he gets hurt again, I mean, God forbid, who knows how they're going to use him, but I think they're going to run a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I might still win all my unders, but even if I only win three out of the four, I'm going to net positive.
Uh-huh.
And by not betting Buffalo to win the division, you know, I stayed out of trouble maybe, you know. But I think that certainly made that division much more interesting.
Yes, it did. Yeah, I think so.
Josh McDaniels is a great offensive coordinator. He's creative. Not the best head coach.
Such as a coach.
He was dealt a crappy hand here in Denver. He got here, and all of a sudden, so did Tebow. And the fans
He drafted Tebow, didn't he?
No, well, I think he was. It came from above.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I don't think that it was his guy.
Really?
But he was able to win with Tebow.
Oh, he did.
They went to the playoffs. They won a playoff game.
Yes, they did.
And, I mean, Cam is Tebow with talent. You know what I mean? He's built like a tight end. He's you know, he's got an arm that isn't always accurate, but it's an arm. It's a hell of an arm. And he seems like a good leader. Like you never hear his teammates talk shit about him. You always would hear like a coach every once in a while make a comment. You'd always hear commentators make a comment.
Right.
And you'd hear like fans say some shit.
Right.
But you'd never really, you know, his teammates were always ride or die for him, man. And so maybe, you know, Belichick's brilliant and McDaniels is a good head, offensive coordinator. They could easily create an offense around a talent like Cam Newton. Oh. If they just, and if Cam Newton's 100% and they just got him for the league minimum.
League minimum.
That's the most Patriots fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
The other thing is, even if he gets all of his, even if he gets all of his bonuses, he's still not making as much as most of the backups in the league. And if you combine both him and Jameis Winston, you still don't get a Case Keenum contract. You barely get past an Andy Dalton contract. Right. And so it's still, I don't know. Big Fangio said there's no racism in football, so what do I know?
Big up to Cam Newton's girlfriend.
Yours come back.
I'm just saying. Did Cam Newton dump four-time baby mama Kia Proctor and father child with Diddy? Because, man, I'll get that number. Check that. I mean, you see that right there?
She's stunning. Stunning. She could do better than you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, she could definitely take the over with me, all right? But I'm just saying. You know? Yeah, there is that. There is that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, side note.
Side note. That was funny.
Well, it turns out Cam Newton, he's got 7 kids.
But that's a lot of babies, dude.
You can take care of them. You know, ain't nothing wrong.
When I listened to last week's podcast,
yeah,
which I didn't hate as much as I hate most of our podcasts. Like, I always listen back and I'm like, God, I don't want to hear myself. And, you know, last week we had a pretty good convo.
Cool.
There was a point where I made a comment about how Patrick couldn't be on the phone because he was doing something with the kid. And then you started talking about your kid, right? And how she, like, gets up and starts getting ready to give you guys a hard time, right? Mm-hmm. Off rip and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I realized that every time you talk about parenting, I get, you know, more and more happy about not having kids. It's like contraception, but oral, you know, verbal contraception.
Yeah. Even on a playback, that sounds the same. Like, I don't want to have a kid. Yeah. Hey, I had planned on having about 9 myself. But
like, you're trying to beat Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah. Like, I beat you, Cam Newton. But no, I wanted about 9, but shucks, once I start that very first one, well, first of all, I started late in the water. Yeah, I started way late, and if I'd have started early, I could see myself with, you know, 5, 6, 7. I like kids. I really do. I like kids.
I like kids in very short bursts. You know what I mean? I couldn't imagine. Damn, I just said it already. I only said it once last week. I only owe a little bit.
Well, you're only one so far, so you're doing good.
So far, so good. Yeah. I like other people's kids, and I like hanging out with them, and then I like not having to be responsible for them.
And give them back.
Right. I couldn't imagine the whole running into the bedroom in the morning like, entertain me.
Yeah.
I'm not very good in the morning. It's good that I'm single. Nobody has to put up with it. Right. You know? On that note, let me pay what I owe. Patrick ended the season strong. Two more wins. So he literally went 7-3 on his Bundesliga picks. So I'm putting some more money in there to cover my fine and my his tip.
Put
it to good use.
Your quim fine? Quim? Is that what we're going to call it?
Quim?
Or, are you, yeah, something's got to be silent. You know just, what I mean, which is YK.
I was just thinking it was the charity cigar box that I continually stuff with more and more money.
For the you know what I mean, which is Yukum.
I'm getting there, though, once last week.
That's good. Hey, you know what? I've started looking at. I've got this little app, and it wakes me up in the morning with a alarm clock, and it gives me a word.
Like the word of the day?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's just a different word every morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just, like, repeat it, and that's how your day starts with this word? Is it some sort of positive affirmation type thing?
Oh, it's just a big word that I would not have ordinarily have known.
What was this morning's word?
Already forgot.
So it's effective.
Very effective.
So we're not going to say the name of this app because they might not be. They are not potential sponsors.
I mean, every time it goes off three times during the day, and every time it does, I just swipe left.
I've started using the Duolingo app again to keep practice my Spanish. I figure I got, I can easily find 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day, and if that's all it takes, and so far it's just been about like brushing up on old stuff I already know. Like, I haven't got to the point where I'm learning anything new except I'm being reminded of stuff I'd forgotten, basically. So
I got to ask you this question.
What up?
And only because I did use this in my single years, which has not been that wee but a bit of a long time ago.
Yeah.
But have you ever used online dating?
So years ago when I was young and it first came out, I did very well, we'll say.
Okay.
And then I realized I do very well just going out. Like, I don't, I'm just giving myself an excuse to not go meet people. I don't know. And then I started dating somebody and it got serious and I never went, I didn't do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then when that relationship didn't work out, like, I was moving and other things were happening in my life. And then I met somebody and I was dating that person for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And then about, I don't know. It's almost been 2 years ago that I became single again. And I did it. I dove in. I got the app, all of that, a couple of them and all that. And at that point, I'm 40. Or almost. You know what I mean? I'm almost 40.
Yeah.
And it was weird. I was meeting, like, some very, and I'm no choir boy. I might have been in the choir as a kid, but I'm no choir boy. Like, I have lived a wild life, we'll say. Mm-hmm. But there was things going on that even I was like, this is a little too far. This is a little weird. And I was kind of, for lack of a better term, I was creeped out. Mm. Right? So I did it for a while, and I met some people, and it was, I felt like I didn't meet anybody that was like, normal. Everybody was just out there. Yeah. And I understand, like, I'm not exactly normal. So, like, it makes sense. That, crazy attracts crazy.
Yeah.
But I very quickly got to the point that I just accepted the fact that I'd rather be alone and single than interacting with some of this this creep show. Because it was a creep show. It was out there.
So I powered up. I powered up one of my old phones.
Right? That thing's huge, dude.
I know it is, right?
It's kind of thick. It's almost a brick.
It is. But it wasn't that long ago. This was...
it looks like one of the Nokia bricks.
This was HTC. This was like 2012, 13.
You would need to tighten your belt if you put that in your pocket. That thing's heavy as shit.
I know. But I found out that...
We could throw that through a window in Lutra Cigar Lounge if there was one that still had windows intact.
I powered it up and I found out, black and white display, touchscreen.
There's gray, but there's no color.
Shades.
Yeah.
But I found out, I was like, I'm just thumbing through. Oh, I'm calling someone on this old phone. I'm sure it doesn't work.
So yeah, I'm sure they changed their number by now.
Like, you should have called me like 8 years ago. What are you doing? But anyway, I powered it up and somewhere in there, during that time period, it had to be between 2012, 2014, somewhere in there, I don't know. I pulled up one of my old dating apps. And it was Zusk.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay.
That was in my window of in being with somebody and not dating.
And they're actually ranked top three dating sites now. Zusk. Z-O-O-S-K. And so, anyway, I remembered something, right? I remembered something about this phone, right? I remembered that I had saw this person on the dating site, and she looked really, really cute. I mean, really, really cute.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, she is really cute. Good. You know?
Creative camera use.
So I said, hey, let's meet up. You know, yeah. Let's, you know, whatever. Just have coffee, a meal, talk, drink, you know, nothing right major, right?
Walk in the park.
And so I said, you like barbecue? She was like, I love barbecue. I was like, great. Let's go to Jim and Nick's, right? So we go to
I
Jim.
Love that place.
Yeah, Jim and Nick's.
Oh, those cheesy biscuits.
Oh, the cheesy biscuits. Yeah. They got good cheesy biscuits.
Yeah.
And so we go there. And
I'm surprised this isn't a food pod because we're just. Every time food comes up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We're like, ooh, yeah. she shows up and I see her and I was like, oh, she's cute too. And I was like, that can't be. Maybe it is. Well, you know. Okay, it is. It is her. Okay, all right. She starts walking towards the table. I stand up. I'm like, you're at least three times larger than I thought you would be. I'm not judging. It's what's inside that counts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? But seeing her face, you would not imagine that she was the size that she was. But I'm not judging. I am not judging. I was perfectly okay with that.
I'm not into little girls. I get it.
And she seemed 100% like she was pleasant on the phone and everything. So it was all good. So, you know, back then I was a little bit more into working out and things like that. So even I myself was probably about 60 or 70 pounds lighter, right?
That's probably an exaggeration.
No.
If you lost 60 pounds, you would be skinny as shit right now.
I'd be 200 pounds. I'm 200.
You're 260?
No, I'm 272.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, I'm kind of
those extra couple inches, though. That because you got me beat, and I'm definitely chubbier than you.
Yeah.
You know, but you got me beat by a couple pounds.
I weighed this morning. I'm 272.
Wow.
Yeah. But so anyway, she shows up, and I'm just giddy about it. I'm just like, hey, you know, I haven't really talked to anybody in a long time like this, so it's cool just meeting somebody.
Yeah.
We meet up, you know, and I'm cool. And we order a couple of mixed drinks each, you know. They come out. It's all good.
As people do.
Yep, we're chatting it up. And then all of a sudden it's time to order, okay? And I say, I make a mistake. I just make a mistake, that's all, okay? She says, well, oh, I order first because she had never been to this restaurant before.
Jim and Nick's.
So she says, you order first and I'll see what. And I says, well, let me tell you, the spare ribs are unbelievable. They are so good, right? Show you how long ago I was eating pork back then. I don't even eat pork now.
Yeah.
But I was like, they're delicious. And I says, and I'm going to have this. I'm going to have a side of collard greens, side of mac and cheese. The cheesy biscuits, are keep them coming. I already had two mixed drinks, so give me some home-pressed lemonade with that. And we get to go. Okay, this is what, you know. I says, but the ribs, let me tell you, they're huge. I mean, a half slab is pretty unbelievable, right? Okay. It'll do you. Well, she didn't take that too well. Actually, she was offended by that.
Because you encouraged the half?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
But I was just saying it out of...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, these are...
You were thinking about the ribs, and then that's what came out. Yeah. You're like, you know...
And she said, you order first, because I don't really know, and I'm trying to give her some pointers.
Yeah.
I like, you know, these are Yabadoo ribs. These are, you know, Flintstone-type ribs, you know? I mean, these are big, big ribs, right? So she says, you know, I'm going to have, and she orders four sides, and she orders a full slab of ribs. So I'm like, okay, all right. And then it just got weird after that. It got really, really weird. She started coming at me left and right. I mean, just,
was offended.
Oh, she was greatly offended. And it just started going downhill, like, really, really bad.
She had to hit him up in style route. She was like, okay, I'm going to order everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she ate it, too. Right? You know what? I'm like, big girl. She ate it. Okay, I'm not even upset. I'm cool with it, right? What does she do? She just keeps ordering stuff and eating it. Like, she going grocery shopping. I'm like, okay, you know what? It's cool. You hungry? It's good. I offered you out to dinner, and I would buy dinner. So, it's cool. Keep ordering. I politely excused myself. I went to the car, and I pulled out some Jim and Nick coupons. And it, I actually paid for it because I used to live out that way, and it was all these new restaurants out there, and they put them in this coupon book.
Yeah, and in your mailbox.
And in the Jim and Nick's section, they had like three or four different Jim and Nick's coupons. So I just started going through. And so the wait.
I really thought you were going to say you drove away.
No. I'm way too polite for that.
Yeah, I did.
So, so I brought back the coupons, you know? Plus, I'm jumping on a tab. I wouldn't do that.
I'll tell you that story sometime. Okay. And I've done that.
And so I come back, and I'm just like, you know, pulling out these coupons, and she's got her attitude, and I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I was like, well, there's going to be coupon night tonight. And so I'm going through the coupons. And then she says, the waitress, she knows, she could just tell, like, ooh, this is, she could see what's happening and like, wow, you know? And so she comes back and she's trying to be nice. The waitress is trying to be, waitress is trying to be nice.
Server.
Dick. Server. Okay. Come waitress, on. Waiter. The girl who gave us our food.
Server.
Server. That person. Actually, she was trying to be nice. She was trying to mitigate, make everybody happy. Yep. What does she do? She brings back, and she says, you know what? Because she, you know, one of you, and she didn't say she,
yeah.
One of you got the full slab with the full, you know, whatever. It's one for the price of two. So technically, you only got a half slab. So
you got another half?
You got another half slab coming. But at that point, you know what? I was cool. I was like, I don't want to go home. And you know, I was like, you know what? No, I'm fine. I don't, you know. And she says, I'll have those. And you know what? I'll take some mac and some more collard greens with that.
And wrap up these cheesy biscuits.
Well, no, she didn't say that. She didn't say wrap up the cheesy biscuits, though. But the lady comes back with the food in a bag, and she says, do I look like an effing horse? Does it look like I'm about to eat that food out of the effing bag? And I'm like, you're not about to eat that. You're not going to eat a slab and a half with six sides right now. She was like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were taking it with you. Because I'm sorry. I'll be right back. She says, yeah, you do that. I'm like, oh, my God. She proceeded to then eat the second half slab with the... And I was just like, yeah, okay, well, you know, and I'm a good sport. I played it to the very end, and I was just like, yeah, okay, well, hey, you take care. You know, I was just like, wow. I've never, ever been. And it's easier.
Anybody who's rude to the server or bartender,
yeah.
Fuck them.
For no reason.
Zero respect.
For no reason.
No matter how bad your day's been.
Exactly. Yeah. It didn't go well. It didn't go well at all. I was just driving away, just thinking to myself, like, wow. Like,
so I'll give you the quick version where I thought you might be going. When I first moved out to Colorado, remember, I lived in a diverse community in Washington, D.C. And I lived in Oakland and the Bay Area, diverse community. And when I lived in Japan, you know, I traveled around. And in Tallahassee, although there was some of this, I wasn't in those circles, you know, where I was around this, what I experienced. So when I first moved out here, I went and I got my hair did, you know? Now, I'm a sucker for continuously dating hairdressers and throughout my life. Like, and it's just, now it's a rule. No bartenders, no hairdressers. And of course, I break that rule, those rules as often as possible. But I, you know, chatting while getting the hair did, getting the beard cleaned up, all that. And this lady seemed lovely. Like, hey, let's do a drink. Let's do, you know, a little meal and a drink, you know, tomorrow night or whatever, you know. She was from Longmont. That's a place, right?
Yeah,
that's a place in Colorado, yeah. So she was from Longmont, so we met like halfway somewhere. I don't know why she was working all the way down north here, Westminster or North Glen or wherever, but we, you know, we met somewhere, have a drink. She might have gotten there before me and had a drink or two before I got there. But let's say about 12, 15, maybe 20 minutes into me getting there, I had heard both homophobic and racist comments come out of this chick's mouth.
Oh, gosh.
And she was stunning. And she certainly thought I was handsome. And back then, maybe I was. Now I'm, you know, older and chubbier. But back then, I was kind of, you know, I was a looker. And I literally said, excuse me. I got up and I slid the server, you know, $50 bill or something to cover the tab, more than enough to cover the tab. And just, I was like, I'll be right back. And never returned. Actually, now that I'm telling this story, I can remember another time where I did that too. But it wasn't about fucked up comments. It was just an uncomfortable, uncomfortable. It was like with an ex, you know what I mean? We got together for a meal, and I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, this was, whose idea was this anyway?
I was like, I am out of here.
Oh, my gosh. I had a, there was a site back in, like 2010, 2011,
you
somewhere up in there.
Way more time on, like, well, maybe not.
Well, I mean, that was only, it was only a couple of times. The other time was...
It was about when it started, right? It was only, you know, middle 2005 or 2004 that... Yeah. Not even got rolling online dating.
I think that from that one time, I think maybe three times.
Yeah.
And one was with this Olympian woman, and she looked like the Predator, man. I mean, she had long braids, and she was ripped. And she was like, man, in your picture... You look a lot more in shape than you are right now. And I was like, she was just like, you need to hit the gym royally.
She's like, you're gonna have all those carbs in this?
Well, she ate every 2 hours.
Wow.
She woke up, saying a lot right there.
Yeah.
throughout the, I'm talking about every 2 hours, no matter what, in the middle of the night or whatever, she would wake up and eat.
Lots of proteins and stuff.
Constantly,
like that.
Constantly. And
I've never liked dating women that could beat me up.
Oh, she was small. She was a sprinter. Oh, she was small. Okay. Yeah, I was worried about that.
You had the reach on her, yeah.
But there was this one site, which was also, it was a meetup network site. Okay? So, I don't think, it wasn't a date site, but it was for business sake.
Right.
Hey, let's meet up for lunch. Let's do a little networking, whatever. Well, hey, you know, bring your laptop, whatever, or sit down. Hey, how'd your day? You know what I mean? Really, yeah. It was a really cool concept. I forget the name of it. And I'm not going to say her name, but her grandfather, or was it her father? I'm pretty sure it was her grandfather, was Alexander Haig, right? Who was, I don't know, he was somebody in politics, like Secretary of State, whatever, right? So, you know, we were talking and everything, and she was like, yeah, you know, I wanted to get on this so I could ask someone about, you know, real estate, because I'm really, and it showed that you were a realtor. I was like, I was, but that was a while ago, and, you know, so we started talking and everything, so she was like, oh, okay, well, I don't know, let's just, you know, and we were kicking it off really good, and she was like, well, what are you doing the rest of the afternoon? I was like, nothing. She was like, well... You want to go ride around to some of my properties? I said, yeah, fine. So I'm thinking like she has like a little condo or something or whatever. You know, we drive up to Evergreen. She's got like a freaking, you know, 17,000 square foot house that's empty, fully furnished. And I'm looking at her like, what are you talking about? Like, this is like a 50, this has got to be like a 30 something million dollar house. What are you, you know? And she's like, yeah, I also have one out in Breckenridge, and I also have one over here. And I was like, holy cow. She was like, yeah, my father was Alexander Haig, and my mom actually was from. I was like, oh, so you thought that, you know, I was. So what was funny about it is that was one of the inherent problems of the site. That right there. Is that you would get these enormously, there was no govern in the success level. Now, for me, I would want to be with someone who is hugely more successful. Someone who's hugely more successful might not all the time want to be anchored down by someone who's not as successful as they are.
Hopefully love sees beyond tax bracket.
Well, I don't know if it's supposed to be business and if you find love or whatever. So anyway, I did give her a suggestion and she did lose pretty close to $8 million. I'm just saying that. And needless to say that that site only lasted. I'm going to look that up.
Stick to cigar recommendations, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I gave her an idea, and I called her back like 3-4 months. She's like, yeah. I lost about $8 million on that deal, but you know I might have done it that way anyway. It's not really your fault.
That's sweet of her.
I was like, jeez. Yeah. Call back. Yeah. Doesn't even get a dial tone after that. Like, hello, is this on?
Hey, while we're asking questions,
yeah,
let's do Tyler's question now.
Yeah, let's do that,
and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get into the NFC.
Okay.
All right, Tyler sent this to me. It's about, like, humidor maintenance, right? It's from Cody in Tennessee.
Okay.
He says, I am an overseas contractor and gone for 90 days at a time and wouldn't be able to do any maintenance during this time. Is there a piece of equipment or humidification process that maintains itself for months at a time for such a long period?
Mm-hmm. And it's 90 days?
Ish, you know, up to. It says, you know, he's frequently gone up to 90. You know, yeah. Well, it doesn't say up to. He says it's gone for 90 days at a time. Maybe it's a hard 90. I don't know.
Right.
You know, he's obviously traveling a lot for work, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, now me personally, if it was something like that, I would go with something. Wood is a variable. I mean, it is a variable. You can imagine that wood would react a certain way if you're like, geez, for the previous 6 months, my humidor did this, so I had no idea it was going to do this. You know what I mean? But wood is a variable. It
I imagine seasonal quite a bit, where it acts one way in the summer and a whole different way in the winter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would stick with the Bovita products. One thing I would do is I would purchase the Bovita acrylic humidor, which we actually have one upstairs. It's an all-glass-looking humidor. And it has a false floor to it. And
with the holes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that thing's cool. I've seen it.
You've seen it? Yeah. And you slide the Bovita packs up under there. And then you can even double down by getting a Zycar humidor fan, which at least the battery and everything goes for 2 to 3 months, right?
Okay. So most of the trip, at least.
Yep. Yeah. And then what will happen is that fan will turn on every 15 minutes for a certain amount of time and then turn off. And what that does is it circulates all that humidity, right?
Specifically rotating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking acrylic, so you're not talking about a variable. And the max on those Bovita packs, I mean, there's somewhere around a couple of months, 2 to 3 months in that range.
Yeah.
So it's not going to kill. It's not, you know, if you show up on the 90th day, they're still probably going to be, okay, now it's time to replace them, right? Mm-hmm. And if you never open it, then during that 90 days.
Even if the Bovita pack gets hard, that humidity is already
still in it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the thing is I would stick with those products. And if not going with the acrylic humidor, I would find some other device like a Tupperware or an igloo cooler or something to create that type of atmosphere, because now you're not dependent on the variable, which is wood, that could, you never know. You never know how it might behave while you're gone. Yeah. You know, so
that's good. I never thought to that. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense that switching over to a different material would at least, if you're not there to keep an eye on it once a week, twice a week, three times a week, that's smart.
Yeah, there's no surprises with acrylic. Now the thing is that obviously Spanish cedar aids with the aging process. So a lot of people like the Spanish cedar.
Yeah.
But if you need more of a utilitarian type of a function from your humidor, when that outweighs the aging wants or needs.
Yeah, let's be honest, my cigars don't last that long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if that's the case, then I switch over to the acrylic. Yeah.
Yeah. I use those airtight Zycar plastic, you know, the clamped Zycar plastic ones, the 50 pack, the travel ones. And I find that my Bovita packs last much longer than they ever did when I had like breathable wood. You know, any sort of, you know.
Any wood. Now, how often would you say yours last?
Probably 4 to 5 months.
Wow. See, yeah. And you're opening it during that time.
All the time.
All the time. All the time. So there you go. Yeah.
And I keep an eye. I have a meter. Well, I only have one, you know, meter. But what I do is every time I open it, I switch it to the other one. Exactly. You know, I just kind of keep an eye on both, you know.
And if you know you're going to be leaving or doing that and you're 30 days away from it, trial run it. You know, trial run for 20, 30 days or something and see what happens because... It, like I said, it's a constant. It's not going to change.
The igloo cooler idea is a good one. That's what all the sales reps always have.
Oh yeah,
An igloo cooler or like a big toolbox.
Where
every like shelf is a different cigar.
Exactly. Airtight. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. That was a good question. Thank you, Cody in Tennessee, and obviously thank you, Tyler. We'll talk to you when we talk to you. We miss you, and let's take a short break. Talk about One Log Fire, and then we'll come back and talk about the NFC East.
Yep.
Last night, I played a little poker. It was fun. And I got home. It was kind of late. And I went out for a little walk because I still, like, had a little bit of the cigar from the drive back, you know, from the poker game. And I was thinking, it's a perfect night for a One Log Fire single-use Chiminaya. You know, they're perfect for camping and they're perfect for small gatherings or to create some ambiance while enjoying your favorite cigar on a cool evening. And that's exactly what last night was. It was a cool evening. It was both cool in terms of temperature and in terms of vibe. It was just cool. I was out in Golden. The weather was lovely. With a burn time of about 2 hours, you'll have plenty of time to enjoy that Toro that's been aging in your humidor or whatever else you've been looking forward to smoking out in the yard or wherever you're at. So use the promo code BETYOURASH, all one word, for 10% off of your order at onelogfire.com. Go get yourself a couple Chiminayas and just make life a little bit better in the backyard in the evening. We're back. And it's time to get into the NFC East. We always go alphabetical. So that makes Dallas first. All right. Dallas, tough schedule. They're at the Rams beyond the NFC East games, right? They're at the Rams, and then they're at home against the Falcons, at the Seahawks, at home against the Browns, the Cardinals, the Steelers, at the Vikings, at the Ravens, at the Bengals, and then the 49ers. All right. Now, in the draft... Epic video footage. They drafted CeeDee Lamb when his date reaches for his phone. And he is like, no. Stop, sir, from checking his second cell phone. Oh, just phenomenal. Phenomenal video footage.
What happened?
So he was sitting there at the draft and he's getting all kinds of texts on his phone.
CeeDee Lamb.
Uh-huh. And he has his other cell phone in his lap. Because, people got to have two phones. I get it. And she reaches for, his girlfriend's sitting next to him, and she reaches for the other phone. And without taking his eye off the one he's using, he just takes it out of his hand. He shakes his head. No, doesn't even look at it. And it was, the next day, that video footage was all over the
media. That's the phone they're going to be calling.
It was excellent. But CeeDee Lamb, really fast wide receiver from Oklahoma. And then they also drafted in the second round. They had some good draft picks later. But in the second round, they drafted Trayvon Diggs, who is Stephon Diggs' little brother.
Oh.
He's a cornerback. And he played for Alabama. Mm-hmm. Those Diggs brothers are DC guys, so like I've always known about them. I've paid attention because I know all the high schools they went to. You know, we competed against them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to being the cornerback, and I think what kind of increased his value is that he also really good kick and punt returner.
Mm.
So I think that could really help him. I mean, I don't know if that was necessarily a need, but I bet you if they were considering two cornerbacks, you might lean towards the guy that also brings you other value.
That's kind of like Deion Sanders.
Kind of like Deion Sanders, exactly. Yeah,
he played cornerback and then also a punt return.
And when you see Josh Norman every once in a while go back there, and a lot of guys will go back there. So, you know, those are kind of the high points from the draft. Mm-hmm. They did some, you know, they kind of have a, they're going to kind of have a whole new look on defense specifically. Mm-hmm. They're getting two guys off injury. Well, one guy off injury in what's his name? Leighton Vander Ash, something Vander Ash.
Vander Ash. Yeah.
Linebacker. He mm-hmm. wears that, I think he went to Boise State, and he wears that big neck guard like they did back in the 80s. Yeah. he's coming off injury, so that's obviously helpful. But they signed two vets, man. One for up front, Gerald McCoy, was with the Buccaneers for mm-hmm. years, you know, stud. And they also signed Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who's mm-hmm. a great safety. I think he went to Alabama, too, now that I think about it. Maybe it was LSU. It was one of those SEC schools. And he was with Washington, and before that, he was with Green Bay. Now mm-hmm. he's with them. And then they also signed, they got Aldon Smith off suspension. Now, he hasn't played in 4 years, but he could make an impact. I mean, he was a big dude and a great football player. Mm-hmm. If he keeps his, you know, temper and control and everything. Yeah. They signed a backup in Andy Dalton. And they re-signed Amari Cooper to a huge extension. And they got, they have Dak on that, Dak Prescott on the franchise deal. Mm-hmm. So they might still extend him. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. Jerry Jones ain't scared to spend money. We'll say that.
Well, Clowney has mentioned that he actually wants to, he would love to go to the
Cowboys. I thought he signed already. Now. He ended up signing with the Browns, I think, right?
Yeah.
They did lose a bunch of players, but I don't know if it's, they're all kind of older guys that they probably mm-hmm. just, you know, the value gets to the point where it's diminishing, right? Connor McGovern, who was a guard, solid guard. They've had a great offensive line the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. If they felt they had a young guy that can replace that, makes sense. You'd get younger there.
Right.
Jason Witten, after coming back, left again. You know, he signed with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Cobb was on the team last year. He's taken off. Same with Tavon Austin mm-hmm. and Michael Bennett. I forgot that he was even there, but now that once I was doing the research to prep for this, I remembered, you know, him in the Cowboys uniform a little bit. It seems like an interesting year for Dak Prescott. It whether he's on the franchise deal or he gets extended, it's a big year. He's got to have a good year, you know.
Yeah.
That's the team kind of goes where he goes.
So. Is it just me, or are we literally talking being off $2 to $4 million a year? We're getting paid 30-something million and being off $2 to $4 million.
Oh, for the problem they're having with that contract.
Yeah.
No, I think he wants a 4-year deal and they want a 5-year deal. He wants to get to another contract sooner. Because the numbers are going to change and quarterbacks are going to get signed. And if he's still young and been successful in Dallas, when he's signing another contract, that's going to be an even bigger number.
Gotcha.
So I think it's I don't think it's the number of million. I think it's the number of years. Mm. But it's, tell you what, it's pretty expensive to franchise a quarterback. It's even more expensive to franchise him a second year because mm-hmm. it goes up, the percentage goes up. And so if that's what happens, if they end up having to franchise him not for this coming year but the following year, then he's going to be a very rich man.
Mm.
But also, if he gets his extension, if he gets his deal, a multi-year deal, you know, he'll
mm-hmm.
be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the Cowboys are always bet up because they're such a popular team, right? Like their over-under is 10 wins. And I feel like that's because I feel like it should be 9 or 9.5, and it goes up because they have such a big fan base. They're mm-hmm. kind of like the Steelers, right? There's so many of their fans that so many people bet on the home team that you get the wrong number frequently.
Yeah.
But their over under is 10 wins.
They did open at 9.5.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
I saw it at 10 this morning.
Over 130, under it plus 110.
Yeah, the under 10. Under 10. I see it at plus 115. So it's moved.
Yeah, moved. Yeah.
They're minus 120 to win the division. I think they're the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
They're plus 700 to win the NFC, and they're plus 1,000 to win the Super Bowl. So they're 7-1 to win the championship, just to go to the Super Bowl to win the NFC. And then they're 10-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
And again, I think I think that the win loss number went up because of the public betting. I think all these numbers went down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think they shouldn't be 10-1. They should be 15-18 to 1, you know? Mm. But it seems to me like this is kind of a, for me at least, it's kind of like a pass situation, you know? Mm-hmm. I could easily see them getting 9 wins, 10 wins, or 11 wins. Like, I don't really know. I don't really have a read. So, I mean, it's easy for me to not pull the trigger.
Well, I mean, offensively, did they drastically change that much? And they were tied for a losing record first place with the Eagles, weren't they? For like 7 wins, 7-8 before the last game of the season, and who was gonna?
That's right. It went into the last week. That's
So
they lost depth at wide receiver, though. You know what I mean? Like they had Tavon Austin and Randall Cobb. Even if they lost a step, they're savvy vets. Mm-hmm. You know, and now they got Amari Cooper and. Who, you know? No, they'll find a guy or two. The CeeDee Lamb, obviously.
CeeDee Lamb, yeah.
And you know, they'll find something, but, you know, it's not, I don't know, that's, I mean, ultimately, they have Ezekiel Elliott, who's just a stud. And if you feed him the ball, you should have a good year.
They did switch up that line, though, like you mentioned. So.
A little bit, but I think they got younger, and that, you know, if they can keep, you know, for the most part, keep the quality at the same level, or the you know, like, that could be okay. That could be beneficial. It might make them a little faster. Mm-hmm. I think if I was going to make any bet on them, the spot I would bet them is to win the NFC. Right? At plus 700. 7-1. That feels like the best payoff of any of these, you know? Yeah. I think I can very easily see, and we'll talk about Philly when we get to Philly, but I can see them once again being tied going into the last week, or even being tied at the end of the year and going to some sort of tiebreaker again. Mm-hmm. So I'm scared to bet the division. I'm also pretty high on Carson Wentz, higher than most people are, you know? And if they, we'll talk, like I said, we'll talk about them in a minute, but I don't really feel super confident about the Cowboys winning the division. But I could see them getting in as a wild card team and making a run, maybe making it to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the NFC is kind of deep, man. They got Seattle and San Francisco and New Orleans and Tampa Bay and Green Bay and the Rams. I mean, there's a lot of good teams. So
and they got a whole new coach, and
that's true. I wasn't even really thinking about that.
Yeah, and he's been to places that Garrett had not been.
True. And then he took those years, it seems like he took those years in between Green Bay and Dallas to really kind of revamp his coaching approach. And modernize is probably the better term. Modernize his coaching approach. Yeah, that's a really good point that I didn't really think of. Yeah. There's usually a learning curve. And with a weird offseason and a new coach, I don't know, 10 wins is probably the max in my book.
Right.
We can look at it. I mean, they'll probably beat the Giants twice and the Redskins twice and split with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. So there's 5 wins already. I mean, they're halfway there.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams is a tough game. They'll probably beat the Falcons. The Seahawks is, you know, it's tough to win in Seattle, you know. But they'll probably beat the Browns and the Cardinals. Maybe, like, either the Steelers or the Vikings. They'll probably lose to the Ravens. They'll beat the Bengals. I see them at 10 wins. I see, like, I can easily not bet this because I don't really know what to do. But they're going to, I think they're going to be fun to watch. I think they're a good team.
Well, I think what's interesting is maybe if we move along, they got Philly at the same over-under and win.
Well, give me 1 second before we get there. Because the one other thing I wanted to bring up with the Cowboys is the uniqueness of this season with the potential of somebody being out for 3 weeks because they tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah.
Right? What I, one of the... You know, I made fun of it when it happened, but one of the best things they did was improve their backup quarterback. Instead of Cooper Rush, they have Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton.
Somebody who has experience. And somebody who's been there, even if it's shitty, you know, Bengals, still, he's been around for a couple years. And God forbid he has to start a couple games, I don't think they dip that much. You know, you kind of revamp your offensive play calling to suit his talents instead of Dak's, and you can easily compete with I mean, it's still Andy Dalton with Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper, you know? So they could still... That could be a really big benefit. That could be a really big benefit. But yeah, let's keep it moving. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch them. That's for sure. It almost always is, man. They're, you know, they're always, it's either fun to watch them struggle or fun to watch them succeed. Like, they're just the Cowboys. They put on a good show.
Yeah.
Next is probably going to be a quick conversation. The New York Giants. tough schedule. Just, you know, I guess the NFL's a tough league. Everybody's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they got to play the Steelers. In addition to all their teams in the division, they got to play the Steelers. They're playing at the Bears. Mm-hmm. They're playing the 49ers.
Awesome.
They're playing at the Rams. Awesome. Playing the Buccaneers. At the Bengals. That might be a win.
Yeah.
At the Seahawks. The Cardinals, the Browns, and the Ravens. At the Ravens.
Jeez.
Dude, I'll be honest, man. There might only be 3 or 4 wins for these guys this year.
Probably.
They did a lot of, like, building for the future kind of draft picks. Like, 3 offensive linemen and a bunch of linebackers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They did get one great offensive lineman from Georgia. His name's Andrew Thomas. It's like the 3rd or 4th pick or something. They had a high pick because they were horrible last year.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Cooper Rush, they brought in Cooper Rush to back up Daniel Jones.
Mm.
That's probably not. I don't know. I feel like teams are going to need to have a good backup quarterback this year.
Yeah, yeah.
They let a lot of guys go, but obviously not a huge ton. But obviously Eli retired, right? They had Cody Latimer last year. He's gone. I only bring that up because he's a local dude. Just got in trouble for popping off his gun inside a poker game down in Centennial a couple weeks ago. He's an idiot. But he's on the Washington football team this year. And then Alex Ogletree, who'd been a linebacker for them. I feel like he'd been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he took off. But that's really it. Like, they kind of stayed the course of their roster and added, like, at those important, like, big guy building kind of spots, you know? It's you know, they're trying to rebuild through the draft and, like, starting with the old line to help Barkley and Daniel Jones. But I also feel like they've been perpetually rebuilding for a few years.
So, definitely the quarterback,
Daniel Jones is their starting quarterback.
No.
Yeah, they drafted him last year, number one in the draft out of Duke or something. Or their first pick in the draft, not number one, I mean. Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes.
Yeah.
He played at Duke with Sutcliffe, with Manning's old coach.
Is that their guy?
That's their guy. They traded up, didn't they? Or they drafted him in, like, the 5th pick of the draft or 4th pick of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He had a few sparks last year. He had a few good
good
games last year.
Hmm.
He has a great arm. You know, it's accurate.
Hmm. I think six and a half wins is a stretch. So
that's way high. I think I'm betting the under there.
Yeah.
Their 6 is the absolute most they're going to get. And it's over under 6 wins. Over under 6 wins, and, you know, if I push, good for them. But they are they're 10-1, plus 1,000 to win the division. They're plus 3,000 to win the NFC Championship, and they're plus 7,500 to win the Super Bowl. 75-1 to win the Super Bowl. And it's just not worth it, even a dollar. Don't do it.
Yeah. They are probably not gonna, they're not going to, yeah, they're not going to do much better than 6 wins. And I think that's I could see them winning 5 and having a great season.
They might have the first pick in the draft next year.
Yeah.
And if do they pick Trevor Lawrence when they already have Daniel Jones?
Well, see, that's the thing. Yeah. The thing is they get so many linemen and so many, you know, they really built from within. So if they did get Trevor Lawrence in 3 years, they could be really, really looking good.
And either they trade Daniel Jones or trade the pick for Trevor Lawrence, they can get some assets out of it, even if they don't want to go to a different direction with their quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not anybody that matters this season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe they're heading in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I've always, you know, it's always seemed the right move. If you're thinking long term, the move is to get all the offensive linemen and big bodies you could get, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because that's what's going to keep your most expensive investments healthy.
Right.
Barkley, quarterback. You know, and their running back is the guy, man. He's great.
Correct me where I'm wrong here. Okay. If I don't think Eli Manning was ready to go.
He didn't seem like he was, but at the same time, he didn't try to sign with somebody else.
True. But my point being is, when you have a player like Eli Manning, and he wants to keep playing, right? And, you know, you're in a position where you could pick up a quarterback here, you could pick up a quarterback there, but you decide to go with the veteran choice in building. I mean, it's, you know, what if you say, okay, well, we're gonna keep a really young offensive line. We're gonna keep a because who's their running back?
Barkley.
Barkley.
His last name, yeah.
Freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, he's
right?
Got those tree trunks for legs.
Yeah. We're gonna get the best running back we possibly can. We're gonna probably start working on our, you know, a lot of things other than the quarterback, right? And then let's just say the writing isn't on the wall. The wall fell down, you know, and it's like, yeah, well, your arm fell off, so you're definitely done now. Now we're gonna go and look at. My point being is this. Eli Manning, before they sat him down, I mean, wasn't he still like maybe the probably middle of the road, 15th in the league or something like that? Yeah. So
he was effective, but he had started dipping.
Yeah.
But also, there had been like two consecutive regime changes, coaching wise, and. You know, when the new coach shows up, you're going to see some turnover at especially the quarterback position, but the bigger positions. You know, they got to get their guys in the
right spots. My point is you know, we recently did our podcast centered around The Last Dance, and just about the front office and coaching becoming skittish at rebuilding. You know, and how often is it that in history, basketball, baseball, football, what have you seen teams blow up and say, whoa, you didn't really have to do all that, you know?
Sure.
You could have gotten maybe two, maybe three more. Let's put it, this is my point.
Do you think Eli was going to win another ring in the next 3 years?
That's a good point. No.
Because then get on with the rebuild. You know what I mean? If
but the point is,
with another team,
the point is that they're not going to win.
But maybe now they're 7 years away instead of 10 years away. Because by waiting three more years and then starting the rebuild.
And then they got a rookie contract.
Yeah, you save $10 million. I mean, Eli was expensive. Yeah, imagine.
Exactly.
I don't know what the details of his last contracts were.
Yeah.
But it's got to be $20+ million.
Exactly. So you got a cheaper roster and
younger, cheaper. The way the NFL is structured, you know, and the way the CBA, the CBA kind of benefits teams to just get rid of the old guys and get more get younger and faster. And those guys are going to get hurt and get CTE soon and have to be replaced anyway.
Right.
You know, it's all about turnover in the NFL more than it's ever been.
Right.
It sucks. It's, you know, if you're an aging cornerback or linebacker or whatever, every year you got to worry about what rookies are showing up in camp, you know, because it's way cheaper to replace you than to keep you.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, owners and GMs are going to be inclined to do so.
So now, fly like an eagle.
Yeah, let's do it.
To the sea. Fly. Go ahead.
E-A-G-L-E-S. Go Eagles. Eagles fans are, some people hate them.
Yeah.
I absolutely love them. I just love their passion.
Yeah.
I love their energy.
Yeah.
I love that they care more than everybody else, and they're not scared to throw a snowball at Santa. You know, I love it. It's a little weird that when they win, sometimes their fans will eat horse poop in the street. But other than that, you know, there's something commendable about the way they love their team. Yeah. And yeah. I feel like they underperformed last year. They had so many injuries at the wide receiver position that I don't know. I just feel like they underperformed because of injury last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that a little bit. But let's look at the schedule first. The LA Rams, the Bengals, at the 49ers, at the Steelers. That Battle of Pennsylvania there. That was cool. Ravens, at Browns, Seahawks, at Packers, Saints, at Cardinals. It's tough, man. That's a tough one. There's a couple games there that I'm pretty sure they'll win. Like, they'll probably beat the Bengals.
Did you say Washington at all?
Well, yeah, they play them twice.
Oh, you're just talking about the...
I was just talking about right. You know, there's a lot of tough games there. Ravens were really good. You know what I mean?
Right.
They'll probably beat... God, I said it again. They'll probably beat the Packers in Green Bay. Or, you know, they'll get a couple that are going to be tough games. But I think they're going to have a tough year. In the draft, their first round, they got this wide receiver named Jalen Reagor. He was from TCU. Mm-hmm. Really quick, really fast. And then they also drafted Jalen Hurts at the beginning of the second round, quarterback at Oklahoma and Alabama before that, right? And they already have a guy named Jalen on their roster named Jalen Mills. So they got three guys named Jalen on their roster. That's not that common of a name. Mm-hmm. That's wild. They also drafted, for our local listeners, they drafted a linebacker from Colorado in the second round. But the most interesting to me was an undrafted free agent they signed. His name is Khalil Tate, and he played quarterback at Arizona, but I think he's going to be playing running back in the NFL, running back with an arm.
Mm.
Also, we've heard stories about maybe Jalen Hurts not playing quarterback and also playing like in the slot and doing some different things. Mm. They could get really creative with their offense is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
They got those kind of players.
Yeah.
They got DeSean Jackson coming off injury, Alshon Jeffrey coming off injury. That's huge. You know, that's big. That was where the problem was last year. And then they traded for Darius Slay. Or Clay? Slay. Darius Slay. He was in Detroit, I think. Is that right? It was Lions, I think. Cornerback. Now, they lost a lot of players. Man, they lost a lot of players. But again, it's kind of those older guys that it's time to replace them. Yeah, it's sad to say. But tackle Jason Peters, who's been a staple of that line for the last couple of years. Malcolm Jenkins, the safety who had that interception of... In the Super Bowl of Russell Wilson when he threw instead of handing it to Marshawn, Nelson Aguilar, who's not really Latin but I like saying it like it is, Ronald Darby went to Florida State cornerback, Timmy Jernigan also went to Florida State defensive tackle, and then Jordan Howard, the running back who joined the Dolphins. We talked about him last week. So that's a lot of turnover.
Yeah,
but there's still the consistency at the key spots, right? They still got Kelce on the line. They still got Wentz in the backfield. You know, they got at least, you know, two of their wide receivers coming off injury. They're at least familiar with the playbook, that kind of stuff. You know? And I feel like their coach is one of the smartest guys. Nine and a half. I got it. I saw it this morning at over under 9.5 wins for the season. Plus 110 to win the division. Plus 950 to win the conference, the NFC. And then plus 1850 to win the Super Bowl. Not a bad long shot bet right there. Right? If you just want to throw $10 on somebody and get 18.5 to 1 on your money, you know, or you want to throw $100 on a team and get, you know, a month of bills paid, you know, that's not a bad, might not be a bad long shot.
Yeah.
If they get going, we've seen them for a couple years. They're tough to beat.
Oh yeah.
I kind of like the over, but then once I read the schedule, I didn't like the over as much.
Yeah. Inner conference, I mean...
They'll get five wins, right?
Well, did I say...
They'll beat the Giants twice and the Redskins twice and maybe split with the Cowboys?
I could see them quite possibly losing one of those games with the Giants or the Redskins.
Sure, so four.
And winning one game... The split with Dallas.
Yeah, that's how I picture four. It. They'll probably split with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So four, let's say four for conversation's sake. Rams are tough, but they'll beat the Bengals. So there's five. At the 49ers and at the Steelers and home against the Ravens are tough games.
Yeah.
At Cleveland. Cleveland's kind of a wild card because I keep thinking, oh, everybody will beat them. But what if Baker Mayfield kind of goes back to his rookie year and is, you know, is comes out and has a year? He's got weapons around him.
Yeah. No, you're right.
That could be tough. The Seahawks, at least they're playing in Philly, not in Seattle. But at the Packers might be a win. They get the Saints in Philly and not in New Orleans. That's a little, that helps. Late in the season, too, it might be cold where the Eagles will be used to it and the Saints are a dome team. So that could, you know, that could be a W. At the Cardinals could be a W. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't know where they're getting their 10th win. I don't know. I don't know if I'm betting this. I don't know. I liked the over this morning, and now that we're talking about it, I don't feel the confidence that I should. I still like them as a long shot to win the Super Bowl at 18.5 to 1, but I don't know about the rest. The division, it's really just them or the Cowboys to win the division. Mm-hmm. I don't see the other two teams being in the conversation. So it could be a fun year for the Eagles. It could be a real fun year. It could also be a really tough one. Like, you know, it's that schedule's brutal. Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest fight between NFC East and NFC East and AFC East both so far has been between the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. So
yeah.
That's the biggest competition out of both of those divisions.
And they hate each other.
Yeah.
They hate each other. Those games are good. Those games, it is a good rivalry. You're absolutely right. All right, the last team in the division, the Washington racial slurs.
It's been a lot said about that lately.
Did you hear Ron Rivera the other day? He's like, now isn't the time for this conversation. What are you talking about, dude? Now is exactly the time for this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, changes that are going on in society, you know, that were common. I mean, there's monuments that are being torn down that or repositioned.
Removed. Yeah, it's crazy.
That I never even knew were there. I'm like, what? Yeah. There was actually a monument that had that, you know, like.
It's going down, man. Things are changing.
Just today, they removed a monument that honored the Emancipation Proclamation. So the free slaves actually paid for it, but they had no input on the monument. So it was Lincoln with a slave with broken chains at his feet.
Wow.
Which, of course, they were saying that there then, you know, just sets the stage for what we're going through now is that, you know, African Americans, they need to be led. They cannot, you know, control their own death, you know, all of that. So, but getting to the Washington Redskins, well, you know.
Before we do that, though, you saw Mississippi's changing their flag finally.
Yeah.
We're seeing buildings getting renamed on university campuses all through the South. Clemson is changing the name of their business school or whatever, one of the schools that was named after, you know, a previous president who was also a vice president of the country and incredibly segregationist.
Princeton is striking Woodrow Wilson from their...
I had no idea that Eli Yale was like a slave trader.
Yeah.
Like, had the boats and everything. Was profiteering off.
The guy who constructed or commissioned the Mount with the presidents.
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Teddy was Roosevelt. Well, or the guy then who constructed it or
designed it or whatever.
In other words, it was mostly, even though Teddy Roosevelt was the president that signed off on it and everything, that the guy who actually went about making it happen was a Klansman.
Wow. Florida State's changing the name of the football field, or the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll still be Bobby Bowden Field, but they're going to drop the name Doug Campbell.
Yeah.
Because when he had some really fucked up thoughts about segregationism and would consistently make inappropriate comments about FAMU, which is 2 miles away, you know, and it's an HBCU.
And Reddit and what is that? Itch? Not Reddit. That's not Itch. Hey, that's a good name for a for a social media platform. Reddit and
a dating app for people with
psoriasis. Yeah. Reddit or and what's the other one? Reddit and the other one. I can't think of it.
Twitch?
Right. I think it might be Twitch.
Yeah, that's a pretty popular one. Kids.
It kicked. Kicked Trump off or banned
Twitch,
him.
Twitch was the big one that I had heard about. I hadn't heard about Reddit. I didn't know he was even part of that. But
I think they're associated. But
they banned his Twitch page.
He reposted a speech that, you know, where he said when the looting starts, the shooting starts. He reposted that, and I'm just saying myself. How can you have a sitting president that's banned?
Dude, the other day, he put up a video, and in the background of the video, you can hear somebody yell, white power. And it was 3 hours before somebody was like, hey, take that down, dumb fuck.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even have a good team around him to control his stupidity. I don't know. Mm-mm. This is not a politics pod, right? There's enough people. Everybody knows how we feel. There's enough. I don't know.
What's the over-under on the first team to go visit the president? Or has any team visited the president in the last 4 years?
I think one or two teams have gone, but frequently they're incomplete rosters.
Yeah.
There's a couple guys that are like, I'm just sitting that out.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this.
Yeah.
Washington racial
social. Washington racial social.
At Cardinals, at Browns, Ravens, Rams, at Lions, Bengals, at Steelers, at 49ers, Seahawks, and Panthers. They're fucked. In the draft, they got Chase Young, who is a stud defensive end.
Oh, yeah.
D.C. guy, well, D.C. area guy, went to Ohio State. Also, you know who they got as an undrafted free agent is Thaddeus Moss.
Moss, yep.
From LSU, the tight end of LSU and Randy's kid.
Yeah.
Now, they have got Ryan Kerrigan and Alex Smith and a couple other guys coming off injury. Mm-hmm. I don't know how effective Alex Smith's going to be, but it's worth it for him to give it a shot because there's a lot of money on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably got a lot of medical bills. They also got Bryce Love, who's a running back off suspension. I don't know what he was suspended for. I can't remember, at least. They signed... Now, again, we're talking new head coach. You know, tons of... Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to get the right guys for his system in, right?
Right,
so he brought in Kyle Allen, quarterback, who was on Carolina last year.
Mm-hmm.
Brought in Peyton Barber, the running back. Okay, Cody Latimer makes another appearance, and Ronald Darby, the Florida State alum who's playing cornerback for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a lot of guys. Vernon Davis retired. Jordan Reed got cut, so there's two tight ends right there.
Yeah.
Dominic Rogers Cromartie, who I don't know if he's re-signed with anybody, definitely was a free agent. They got rid of Case Keenum and Colt McCoy.
Was he at the with the Broncos?
Maybe for a year. Andrew, he was definitely on California. I think he was with the Chargers for a minute. Rogers Cromartie.
Yeah.
Case Keenum and Colt McCoy are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Kayvon Webster, who was with the Broncos, and I'm sure it's changed, but I have his number on my phone.
Yeah.
and Ruben Foster, who was gotten a little bit of trouble, we'll say. So big changes, wholesale kind of changes, you know, at key positions too. Mm-hmm. Their win loss, the number for them, their over under is 5 wins.
Mm. That didn't change from March, the one that I'm looking at.
It was 5 also.
It was still 5, yeah.
I think this is the best bet in this whole today's whole conversation.
The under
is the under 5, because. This is the team that, like, the Bengals and the Browns and are, like, pumped to play.
Yeah, but so for that reason, you're talking about over 5 wins. Because you said you got the Bengals, you got the Giants.
I don't know if this team's good enough to beat the Bengals.
Ooh, okay.
Probably not. What if Joe Burrow's good?
Yeah.
You know, what if Joe Burrow is, excuse me, What if Joe Burrow's decent?
Mm-hmm.
It's all that matters to beat the Redskins or the racial slurs.
But didn't they go on a run towards the end of last year?
Not that I remember. I didn't write down their record from last year.
Well, it's going to be all changed from...
A whole new team.
Who's the quarterback that they...
He also went to Ohio State the year before, and he's a D.C. guy.
Haskins. Haskins.
Thank you.
So Haskins, he's still their guy?
Yeah, but now he's got... In his second year, he's already on his second head coach.
Yeah.
So he just learned that system. Now he has to learn this system.
Right.
Now, I will say Ron Rivera is... historically a player kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
People like playing for him. Right. You would always see the Panthers win a couple of games more than you would expect because the guys like playing for Ron Rivera.
Right.
He's a rah-rah guy. 85 Bears defense, right?
Isn't it something that three players from that 85 Bears team, or is it four, became head coaches? Harbaugh?
Which Harbaugh? Jim or John?
Jim.
Jim, the good one.
Wasn't he on that? I thought he was on the 85 team.
Right. He was the backup.
Yeah, I think so. But Jim, let's just say, Jim Harbaugh.
Ron Rivera.
And the...
Yeah, he was here.
Linebacker.
Singletary.
Yeah, Mike Singletary.
His kid's going to have a good year for the Jets, I think.
Yeah.
He's a running back.
Yeah.
They had a good coach. In Chicago. Like, I feel like frequently the players that become coaches had really good coaches when they were players.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And whether that coach just set a good example or recognized talent early and said, hey, kid, if this doesn't, or when this is all over, think about coaching. Come work for me or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you see it, Popovich has all these players that turn into coaches.
Yeah.
Now Tim Duncan's on his bench and Steve Kerr's running the Warriors, and it's contagious, maybe.
Yeah.
You're around good quarterback or good coaches, maybe you follow in their in their path.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just to be thorough, I'll read them, but we're probably nobody's going to bet them to win the division, the conference, and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But they're plus 2,000 to win the division. You're getting 20-1 just to win the NFC.
Yeah.
They're plus 8,500 to win the NFC, and they're plus 20,000, so 200-1 to win the Super Bowl. I believe they're the longest odds on the board.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, remember this. Last year, we did kind of get one wrong, just because we didn't have enough data.
I got at least two wrong, but go ahead. Who are you talking about?
I'm thinking about the 49ers.
Oh, because I was thinking about the Green Bay Packers. We were wrong on both.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of lucked their way. They were the
Green
worst 13-win team or 11-win team or whatever, But we were wrong. Yeah. We're wrong.
And San Francisco, we just didn't have enough data.
That was it.
Yeah. Garoppolo
said,
was coming off
we
of...
We wanted to
see
him do it before.
That's what we said.
And we said the same thing about Lamar. Over in Baltimore.
Yeah.
He had a great year, but he didn't make it happen in the playoffs.
That's right.
It's hard to get that first playoff win, I imagine, for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Or for a young quarterback.
Yeah,
Dwayne Haskins may or may not be the guy long term.
Right.
Regardless, maybe this is the perfect head coach for him in the right system.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that's the case, he's 2 years away at best.
Right. Well, we did catch ourselves, and let's just say that last week's podcast that we are saying that at this point the Patriots, they do have a much greater chance of being division leaders than they did last week when we didn't have that information.
Sure.
And that's really saying something. So are we saying that's saying a lot. Because
they got a lot better from last week to this by signing Cam.
And
they also lost $1 million and lost a third round draft pick in next draft because it came out, because the whole thing caught up with them about filming the Bengals.
Yeah.
So,
the thing is, are we saying that Cam now is better than Brady now? Or are we saying that Belichick with Cam now is better
than Arians and Brady.
Then, well,
Cam Newton's 10 years younger than Tom Brady.
10 years.
He's also a former MVP. Mm-hmm. He's got experience. He's got talent.
Yep.
If he's healthy,
mm-hmm.
I think that's an upgrade at the position.
Oh, with anybody
10 years younger,
anyone that's available at this moment,
yeah.
last week, anyone that was available. He by far is, I mean, MVP. He actually has played in the Super Bowl. I mean, who else? Who else? There's nobody else out there. Nobody. So
well, I mean, Colin Kaepernick had the ball in the air to win the Super Bowl.
He did.
But he hasn't played for 4 years.
That's true.
So that's tough. That's rust. That's a real thing. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I would love to see him back in the league, and I'd love to see him get a chance to get some time.
Yeah.
And none of these four teams need a quarterback. None of them were even considering Cam.
Who's that?
These four in the NFC East that we talked about.
None of these. Yeah.
Maybe one of these teams would give Colin Kaepernick a spot as like a chance to win his way into the backup position, but none of these teams were considering Cam, who, whereas Kaepernick could be the third or second quarterback.
Oh, easily.
Cam was a second or first quarterback conversation. You know, and that's a whole different conversation, you know.
I would say there's 20 teams out there right now that Colin Kaepernick is better at this moment than the second or third string.
Yeah.
If not the second,
he can make
the third.
He can make the roster.
Yeah.
You're seeing the good teams stockpile three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I think they're proving my point that I was talking about earlier, that this year, more than any year,
mm-hmm.
we should probably be deep at that position. Because you never know when we're going to lose 3 weeks of our starters.
I mean, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, Mahomes, didn't play all 16 games last year.
No. It's getting more and more rare that a quarterback starts them all.
Yeah.
And, again, with the factor of potentially getting COVID-19, like, you never know. You just never know. So, you see, New Orleans has three options at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You see, New England has three quarterback. Well, two quarterback.
Yeah.
Brian Hoyer, I don't know, he's competent. You know, he's a book. Three, we'll say three.
Yeah.
But probably wouldn't hurt for one of these teams to grab Colin Kaepernick.
It would.
Just have him around, you know.
But that same conversation has been there for the last 3-4 years.
Yeah. I hope that with the commissioner coming out on record and saying, hey, it would be awesome to have him back in the league, and there being a different attitude collectively in our society towards both his presence and how he exited, you know, be polite about it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a better chance of it happening. But again, that couple years of rust is real. So.
Yeah.
Do you
think Cam Newton deserved more than a minimum contract?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, right? That's amazing.
Him and Jameis combined don't equal Case Keenum. That's what the contract said.
That's crazy.
It's bullshit. Now I hope he gets all his bonuses and everything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, $7 million is a lot better than $1 million.
Yeah.
But even that, it's, you know, the average backup is getting 7 to 12.
Right.
And it's just, I don't get it. But Vic Fangio says there's no racism in football. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, before we go down a dark turn, what do you think of this VSG?
Oh, it's always in our humidor here at Capital Cigars, 919 East Colfax.
Denver, Colorado.
We are recording on a studio level. This has been one people ask me while I'm walking through the humidor, and they'll say, well, you know, what are some of your best cigars in the humidor? This is easily in my top three, top five. Always.
Agreed.
Yep.
It's a celebration cigar.
Mm-hmm.
When you've had a great day, when you get that promotion at work,
mm-hmm.
when your kid's graduating college, when you're going to your brother's wedding or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's dignified, sophisticated. And it's a sophisticated cigar. In vibe, in taste, in flavor, but also just the presentation.
The design of the band.
It's
The color, everything about it is very regal. Mm-hmm. It's designed to be a premium cigar. They use premium tobacco. It was blended as a premium cigar. Everything about the VSG screams, you know, a high end, nice, good smoking cigar.
Yeah, it really is. It's great. It's great. And the few other VSGs I've had over the years have all been very good. This is one of the best cigars on the market. I like it. It's a good one.
It is. It is.
Lastly, as we close this out, you and I were talking before the podcast. It's something we never think to do, but it's really important that we try to do this every week. We'll keep this podcast free for listeners forever, right? We're never going to go behind a paywall or anything.
Absolutely.
Like, maybe we try to find some sponsorship of the listeners. It's never going to come out of the listeners' pocket, right? But if you guys could please, it really does make a difference and is very, very helpful for the podcast. If whatever platform you're listening to the podcast, you rate it, you review it. I know it takes a minute, it's annoying, whatever, but just rate it as high as possible, review it, maybe share it on social media, tell a friend. Mm-hmm. We don't like, I don't know, I shouldn't speak for both of us. I suspect that it's we.
Yeah.
But it's definitely I. I don't like asking anybody to, like, do stuff for us or asking anybody to help in any way, but it is very helpful. So it's probably in our best interest to remind people that we could very much benefit from high rating and a review. So help us out. And on that note, we can call it a wrap. We're not forgetting anything, are we?
Nope. That's 86 this one.
86. Later. That was episode 86. Bet your ash. We record the podcast every week on the studio level of Capital Cigars, 919 East Colfax Ave, Denver, Colorado. And this is the point in the podcast where we say thank you to some people. So thank you to Binsky for helping us on the creative side of things. He designed our logo, website. He and I co-produced the intro music. So thank you to him. Thank you to Tyler. He wasn't on this week, but that doesn't mean he's not still helping. He's still working. He's still helping us out on the marketing side of things. And thank you to Connor. Big up to our technical advancements. He works tirelessly to keep us sounding good. And also, thank you to Stephen Hobbs. Big things in the future. We would not be doing this if it wasn't for him. So shout out there. And also to all the listeners. We appreciate all of you. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Boost Mobile tiene una gran oferta para que aproveches tu reembolso de impuestos al máximo y te mantengas conectado. Al cambiarte a Boost, recibe un 50% de descuento en tu primer mes de datos ilimitados. O, con un plan ilimitado de $40, llévate un Samsung Galaxy A15 5G por $39.99. Obtén los mejores teléfonos en las redes 5G más grandes del país. Con Boost Mobile, cambiarse es fácil. Solo visita BoostMobile.com. Boost Mobile, sin miedo al éxito. Para clientes nuevos y solamente en línea, requiere AutoPay. 50% de descuento en el primer mes requiere un plan de $25 al mes. Aplican otras restricciones. Visita Boost Mobile.com para detalles.